Good afternoon and welcome to the Intrepid Birdman Show. If you caught it last week, consider yourself fortunate. Some people caught it the week before and the swelling still hasn't gone down. On this afternoon's program, I was going to read to you from my forthcoming book, Coping with the Paranormal. But unfortunately, it seems to have disappeared just at the moment, so instead another great do-it-yourself spot. Do-it-yourself Lasermetrics, the lazy man's guide to physical exercise. We also have another episode in the life of Vlad the Impaler. Alex Wright and Busby Barclay will read you from the pages of Reuters. Chris Law will entertain us with the Sunday Moon. And of course, we have all the usual stuff as well, including a brand new radio play by Steve Ryder, James Bonk, 00711. Look out for that and more coming shortly.
And for our blind listeners, a special service. Subtitles are being broadcast simultaneously in Braille on Channel 4.
Quiet enough of that. Take him away, nurse.
If you leave, don't leave now. Please don't take my heart away. Promise me just one more night. Then we'll go our separate ways. We always had time on.
Good afternoon and welcome to Physical Exercises for the Unusually Slowful. With our complete course of Lasermetrics, you can turn that flaccid body into the peak of physical perfection without even getting out of bed. So how's it done? First of all, remember that all exercise is good for you. But like anything else done to excess, far too much of it can have exactly the opposite effect to that intended. Take, for example, those hideously over-muscled bodybuilder types. One day they are pumping iron, and the next day they are pumping blood around very slowly in an oxygen tent in an intensive care ward. So how can we avoid becoming hideously over-muscled in our search for physical perfection? Quite simply, the BLR course in Lasermetrics. In this course, gymnasiums are completely forbidden. Weightlifting isn't allowed, and handsprings are definitely out of the picture. All you will require are the ordinary domestic requisites to be found in the average bedroom, living room or bathroom. You can exercise on your way to work in the mornings, on the bus, on the train, or just lying in the bath blowing bubbles. This complete course comes with the usual guarantee of total satisfaction or your old body back. Well, all this mandibular exercise has quite tired out my jaw muscles, so whilst I'm relaxing and making myself a nice cup of tea, I'd like you all to brace yourselves for lesson one in our search for physical perfection.
Ow! Ah!
Thank you.
Welcome back to part one of Lasermetrics, the complete physical education program for the unusually slothful. Let's begin first thing in the morning, just before we wake. Firstly, it's important to have the correct mental attitude to any physical exercise. So first of all, form a nice positive mental image. Think hard. Concentrate now on a nice hot cup of tea. Let the tea permeate your very being. Let your desire for that cup of tea form itself slowly into physical activity. Now, slowly, not all at once, lie perfectly still and take a deep breath. In. Infuse those lungs. Get that air right down into the bottom. Then, breathe out. Now let's work on the big one. Raise the left eyelid and lower it. Right eyelid and lower it. Left, right, left, right. Now both together. Now keep that up until they both become tired. Then take a rest, nod off to sleep for another 10 minutes. With our first and certainly most traumatic exercise behind us, we're ready now for the big one. Yes, we're going to pump iron. So let's get those eyes open and stand by. Yes, push that blood around the body, squeeze those veins, put all your effort into it, and yawn. Now with the lungs completely full of air, we're pushing that oxygen around the bloodstream where it can do the most good. Squeeze those arteries, push those veins, that's better. Now we're ready to cross the pain threshold and make for the big one. Grasp the edge of the bed in both hands and pull yourself upright. Well, perhaps that's a little ambitious to tackle all in one go. But having now achieved touchdown, the normal processes of the bladder will doubtless determine our next exercise. Well, with that rather unpleasant one now safely out of the way, we're free to think about lesson two.
Thank goodness for that.
But just for now, you probably worked hard enough, so it's best to just relax for a moment or two. In our second part, we'll be working out those old tummy muscles, so stand by for that just shortly.
Relax.
Good afternoon and welcome back to Lesson 2 in Physical Exercise for the Bone Idol. And with our body now limber and fully functioning, it's time for a good internal workout. So let's get ready with some deep mandibular, salivary gland and olfactory exercise all in one go. Luckily, the specialized equipment that we're going to need for this can be found in the average domestic environment. So let's make our way to the kitchen and get that old toaster working. Now, with a nice big firm wedgie of dry toast, stuff it in the mouth and bite 2, 3, and chew 2, 3, and push it to the back. Bite again 2, 3, and chew 2, 3, 20 times. Don't leave the tongue out, that's it. Move it around, push that toast to the back of the neck, and keep those jaws moving. Up and down, that's the ticket. Now, let's get that flaccid old tummy on the job, shall we? On my mark. Swallow 2, 3, and digest 2, 3. That's the ticket. Let's get that bile working on those nasty little bits of dry toast. Nothing better. Now we need to get really down into the workings. Let's get that lower bowel moving. Reach for the old bran, pour it into the bowl, a little milk and sugar, and 2, 3, and swallow 2, 3, and stuff it down your neck. Come on, let's get moving. Get that old breakfast cereal right down into the lower bowel as quickly as you can. Yeah, that should do it. Give yourself 10 minutes for nature to take its course, and don't forget to have a clean shirt handy. It's important now not to overtax yourself too quickly, so have a little lie down and let those vagus nerves work it all out on their own. Stay with us for lesson 3. In just 7 days, I can make you a man. Ladies might wish to skip this bit.
A weakling weighing 98 pounds will get sand in his face when kicked to the ground. And soon in the gym, with a determined chin, the sweat from his pores as he works for his cause will make him glisten and gleam. And with massage and just a little bit of steam, he'll be pink and quite clean. He'll be a strong man. Oh, honey, but the wrong man. He'll eat nutritious, high protein, and swallow raw eggs. Try to build up his shoulders, his chest, arms, and legs. Such an effort, if he only knew of my plan. In just 7 days, I can make you a man. He'll do press-ups and chin-ups, do the smirch, clean and jerk. He thinks dynamic tension must be hard work. Such strenuous living, I just don't understand. When in just 7 days, oh baby, I can make you a man.
Good afternoon and welcome to episode 3 in our continuing exercise regime for the unusually slothful and terminally horizontally polarized. I'm sure already most of our exercises will have reduced you to a quivering and exhausted ruin, but it's just at this moment when it is important not to turn over and go back to sleep. You must push yourself forward through the pain barrier to obtain the greatest benefit from this regime of exercises. So let's press on with some advanced multiple muscle control. Take a deep breath. Now try to form a strong mental image of something dynamic. Try to picture a rhino charging, or an elephant pushing a tree down. See yourself as the center of a powerhouse of energy, a human dynamo. If it helps, scream something very, very loudly, something like this. It's an old Japanese trick that tenses the muscles and concentrates the whole mind and body into a single movement. Now, from the horizontal position, sit up, swing the legs around,
push down hard with the knees and lean slightly forward, simultaneously thrusting forwards from the pelvis and holding the head perfectly erect. At this point, you should discover yourself to be standing. Sit down quickly, then check yourself for any signs of dizziness, nosebleeds, or nausea. If no such signs are apparent, repeat the exercise until you can stand continuously for 10 minutes at a time. Now that you've achieved vertical polarization, stand by for lesson 4, exercises that you can perform while standing up. Physical exercises for the faint at heart, lesson 4. Exercises you can do on your way to work. Number 1, catching the bus. Now don't fool around with that gate. Gates are for wimps. We should use them as hurdles. Come on, take a run and jump over it. That's the ticket. One quick stride. It is a good idea, of course, to check the road for traffic before you try this one. Now that you're on the bus, don't sit down. Seats are for wimps. Use one of those long strappy things. Take a firm grip, and whilst you're there, do a few pull-ups. 1, 2, 3. It may annoy the other passengers, but it certainly builds up those biceps. Upon arrival at the office, should you be fortunate enough to have an office with a lobby and a revolving door, don't just walk through the revolving door, but use it as a practical exercise machine. Go around it a few times. Although it is perhaps advisable to let the other people out of it first. It goes without saying that you should avoid the lift at all costs and take the stairs where possible. Never overlook the possibilities afforded by the ordinary contents of an office. A box of paperclips is almost a gymnasium for the fingers. Straightening out that box of paperclips will build up the muscles in the fingers and burn off hundreds of calories into the bargain. Notice also how a curly telephone cord can work as a natural bull worker. Now, with every muscle in your body glowing with activity, let's relax the body and just exercise the eyeballs. Focus on the office clock and allow the eyeballs to rotate following the motion of the red second hand. Now keep this up until the eyes become tired. Physical Exercises for the Faint of Heart, Lesson 5. It's all too easy to slump down into the armchair after a hard day's work and nod off to sleep in front of the telly. This is a practice to be avoided at all costs. A practical method of avoiding this temptation is to buy oneself a pet of some description in order to take it to the park and exercise it, and hence oneself into the bargain. So what would be a good choice of pet for the particularly slothful? A sensible guide here would be to choose one that's neither too large or frisky. Conversely, it's sensible to avoid the obvious choices of, for instance, a tortoise, since it's both difficult to train and, when taught to fetch sticks, can take several weeks about it. A fairly good choice is perhaps a hedgehog, since although it can move remarkably swiftly when pushed, has only small legs and tires relatively quickly. Be careful, however, when crossing the road. Be equally careful with the slow loris or three-toed sloth, both of which can take up to 6 weeks to cross the road and can sometimes remain so immobile as to appear dead. For those of you who enjoy swimming, a jellyfish is a good choice, as indeed is a sea cucumber. However, both are inclined to induce panic when taken swimming in the public baths. The jellyfish because it might sting someone, and the sea cucumber because it closely resembles something else. If you like your pets cute and cuddly, a lemming could be a particularly good choice. Lemmings are famous for their ability to sulk sometimes for days on end, and a particularly depressed lemming may be difficult to coax out of its box at all. It goes without saying, of course, that you should never take a lemming for a walk along the cliff tops. Physical exercises for the unusually slothful, lesson 6. Food and nutrition. Let's begin with some do's and don'ts. Firstly, don't eat anything on an empty stomach. Secondly, never eat anything that glows in the dark. And thirdly, and most importantly, avoid eating anything that's larger than your own head. So what are the important messages when shopping for food? The unusually slothful should look for exercise opportunities wherever they present themselves, none more so than in the gathering and eating of food. Let's begin with vegetables. The most pernicious and dangerous of vegetables is, of course, the parsnip, many of which can grow up to 3 feet long and are almost impossible to pull out of the ground. Another good bodybuilding root crop is, of course, the carrot, closely followed by the turnip. A marrow can grow to an exceedingly large size, and although it grows above the ground, can be almost impossible to lift. Conversely, the potato, whilst relatively light, is almost impossible to find, and thus provides lots of exercise whilst digging around in the mud, attempting to discover its whereabouts. A free-range chicken is an ideal accessory for the slothful smallholder, since it not only provides a nutritious breakfast, but affords its owner unlimited scope for exercise whilst searching for the eggs. More violent exercise can be obtained by owning a pig, since they are particularly reluctant to be turned into bacon sandwiches. Unfortunately, we're not all privileged to be able to grow our own food, and thus we must look at the supermarket as a suitable venue for exercise. So, what opportunities are presented behind its doors? Obviously, endless scope for walking. Just try to find a cheap tin of pilchards. That'll keep you busy all day. But seriously, for the truly inventive PT enthusiasts, the average supermarket is built just like a gymnasium. Take those two supermarket trolleys. Yes, they make excellent parallel bars. Just face the two trolleys away from the body and then exercise on the handles. Great stuff for developing the shoulders. Make your way straight to the fresh produce stand, where you will discover that cucumbers make excellent Indian clubs. Honeydew melons make marvelous medicine balls, and even the humble pineapple can be used to put the shot. The shelving in the average supermarket makes an excellent climbing frame. See if you can get all the way around the supermarket without touching the floor. And then at the end of it, use that big pile of bean tins as a vaulting horse. What? Ready for more? Then make your way over to the fresh fruit. Yes, 10 minutes spent squeezing peaches will do wonders for your grip. Plus, you can test the strength of your newfound muscles by using the spring balances as a bull worker. Well, that concludes lesson 6 and wraps up our series of do-it-yourself exercises for the unusually idle.
Nightclubs.
great moments in British history. Time for us here at BLR to share one of those great scientific discoveries with you. Yes, the discovery of electricity. Yes, truly a great moment in British history, but an obvious and rather poor link to the next record. And if you think that material was weak, do join us next week when we'll be looking at the discovery of penicillin. Still to come, of course, on this week's show, Busby Barclay and Alex Wright will trawl through the pages of Reuters looking for ever more entertaining trivia. And the fabulous Hilly Dines will attempt to scandalise us with gossip from the pop stars and the world of entertainment just shortly. We'll also be dropping into the Carpathians for another episode in our weekly soap opera, Vlad the Impaler. Good Lord, I hardly realised there was so much in it. All that and the Sunday Moan coming up in the next half hour here on the Intrepid Birdman Show, BLR 101.8 FM. Ever wondered what disc jockeys are really like? What are they like in their private lives? Do they really talk like this all the time? In most other occupations, you'd be locked up. So let's follow a BLR disc jockey as he goes shopping.
Good morning, sir. Mm-hmm. Anything I can do for you?
Yes, it's a big hello to you. Right. And with the time fast approaching 12:30, the first item on my list of wants is a packet of 20 Benson and Hedges.
Right, 20 fags.
Moving up to number two on my list of priorities, a cheap disposable lighter.
There you go, mate.
At number three, a packet of peanuts.
Righto.
And because I've been talking like this all day, I think a tube of Fisherman's Friends will be just the ticket.
Yes, patently bad enough when they just go shopping. But what's life like when they get home to the missus? Ask yourself that.
Hello, sweetie. Did you have a nice day at the office?
With the time fast approaching 6 o'clock, I certainly did, my dear.
So what would you like first, then? The TV dinner or a night of wild passion? old-fashioned.
Well, with the big hand coming up to the top of the hour, I think first of all we'll go for the TV dinner, closely followed by the pipe and slippers, and then, if it's all the same to you, dear, I'm afraid I've got a bit of a headache.
Always a bloody same with you, innit? I wish I'd listened to what my old man used to say.
Tell me, dear, what did your old man used to say?
I don't know, I never bloody listened.
This in itself would be bad enough, but can he really be like this when he gets up in the morning?
Five oh five on a bright sunny morning. Let's have a weather report. What's going on, dear?
Take that and that. You've finally driven me too far, you little rotter.
Good Lord, and at 5:05 precisely, I've been mortally wounded.
Don't worry, madam. No court in the land would possibly convict you. Time now to return to our weekly soap opera, Vlad the Impaler.
Oh, Ned, thank God you're here. I needed a cucumber for me pims.
Oh, lucky I always carries one with me then, ma'am. There you go. Now, you tell me, how's these here preparations for your Vlad's surprise birthday cocktail party coming along then, huh?
Well, they're all going really well. I've got everyone turning up at 8 o'clock tonight, and he should be home round about 9.
Well, I hope you've tidied away all the nasty sharp things, because you know what he's like if he comes home to a surprise he's not expecting of. Oh, he can turn right touchy. Nothing sharp
around
here.
Oh, well, I've got nothing. A bit of garlic bread and nothing else, though. I thought I'd avoid it.
Okay. And there is none of them steaks or sticks lying around. Nothing like
that. Oh, my goodness, no. Whatever next. I want to have a nice party, not a calamity.
Right, then. I'd best away to the kitchen and take the edge off the dinner service. I'll be seeing yous later. Sounds like the master's home, Mom. Best tell the guests to be ready at their surprise stations. There you are. Here he comes up the path now.
Surprise!
Stone me! Ned, quickly, get me a sharp axe. This squatter's all over the house.
Now come over here and don't get all fussed up. Happy birthday. Now you sit there. You look as if you're enjoying yourself. It's a party for you.
Jove, you've gone raving mad, woman. What's the matter with you? Have you forgotten your station in life? I'm a bloodthirsty, blood-soaked, tyrannical dictator. I spend all day disemboweling folk for a living. Have you gone raving mad? A bloody party with jelly and ice cream and the like. I'll be the laughingstock of the entire Carpathian mountain range. And what the bloody hell's that?
It's a cocktail, my dear.
That's a puff's drink. I'm not drinking
that. Sit down and you behave yourself. I've gone to a lot of trouble here.
I'll probably die of boredom. Don't know what to do with myself for an whole evening stuck here with this bunch of stuffed shirts.
I say, blimey. Call this a cocktail party. There's no things on sticks.
Things on sticks? Oh, there's an idea. By gum, that will cheer me up. I hadn't thought of that. Come here, missus. I'll show you sticks, all right. Get up there. Oh, that puts me in the mood for his song. Come on, then, get your belly like you. Let's have a number. Me and Palin's song, if you don't mind. Oh, yes. You always hate the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all. So don't hand me a puffy drink, so I'm heading to the castle. I'll take it away, Ned.
You always hurt the one you love, the one you shouldn't hurt at all. You always take the sweetest rose and crush it till the petals fall. You always break the kindest heart with a hasty word you can't recall.
Get the roach up,
son! So if I broke
crunch
your heart last night, it's because I love you most of all.
Thank you, Vlad the Impaler. A smile, a steak, and a small song at the end. Fans of things of questionable taste will be happy to know that Vlad the Impaler will be back at the same time next week. But coming up shortly on the Intrepid Birdman Show, Alex Wright and Busby Barclay rifle through Reuters and bring us more strange and stirring news from England, the Empire, and abroad.
Would you be
Now, if further proof were needed that the entire world has gone completely barking mad, then here it is. As Alex Wright and Busby Barclay read to you some of the strangest stories that have appeared in Reuters this week.
Last week, British Rail amazed passengers and announced that all its trains in Windsor were running early. Puzzled passengers finally worked out that the trains were leaving on time, and it was just that the station clock was slow. The station announcement read, "Please note, all trains are leaving 1 minute before advertised times due to the fact that our clocks are 1 minute slow. Thank you for your understanding in this matter." Engineering apprentice Jason Tyler blew up a public lavatory in a chemical experiment. Shards of porcelain flew 20 feet when he dropped 2 canisters of sodium, which react violently to water, into a bowl. Tyler, 20, of Wellington in Somerset, was put on probation for a year and ordered to pay the £59.07 damage after he admitted to handling stolen goods and criminal damage. Mr. Andrew Chubb, prosecuting, said he apologised for the inconvenience. Japanese scientists are to be funded £25 million over 8 years to stop cows belching methane, a gas blamed for global warming. Britain's first X-rated puppet show is going out on Channel 4 with full frontal nudity and sadistic violence. The film, screenplay, features whipping scenes and has the naked wooden puppet hero being tortured with a cigarette. And a topical one here for last week. Sixth formers will soon be able to study how to become a private eye. A detective course is among a number of vocational studies planned to run alongside traditional academic courses from September next year.
Eager to try on a £750 toupee, shop manager Claude Jules, 53, of Abbeville, France, stopped his car, dabbed on special glue and applied the wig. Then he lit a cigarette. The glue fumes ignited and the car exploded, killing him instantly. A 56-year-old man tricked his way into a house in Alicante in Spain by saying he was a sewing machine technician and then stole £80 worth of pesetas from a woman. As she chased him, he tripped, swallowed his false teeth, and choked to death. Passengers on bus 61A, East Pittsburgh to Wilkinsburg, noticed 2 eyeballs, slightly larger than human eyes, on a back seat. The bus driver placed the eyes in a cup and took them to the garage, where a dispatcher gave them to the police, who passed them to the county coroner, Joshua Perper, who held on to them, in a manner of speaking. He said that the eyes were not in any bottle or bag or box, and the police are looking into it. The latest craze in California is apparently sex changes for pets. A doctor who charged £3,000 for the surgery said, "Like humans, pets can find themselves trapped in the bodies of the opposite sex."
Asked why he had thrown a slab of concrete through the window of a passing bus, Kevin Abel, 16, said, "I wanted to throw a snowball, but it was all too soft." The city of Beijing is offering training courses to give people expertise in wiping out flies as part of its bid to stage the Olympic Games in the year 2000. The Chinese capital is swatting with a passion with the aim of becoming fly-free within 2 years. Asked by Judge Antonio Caracci why he decided to divorce his wife after 25 years of marriage, Mr. Giuseppe Mara said, "Each night for a quarter of a century, just as I was drifting off to sleep, Maria would shout, 'Earthquake!' at the top of her voice." Ernest Hoer's wife, Suzanne, kept a record in a notebook every time he spoke to her, and it worked out to an average of 3.5 words a day. One morning, she claimed, he doubled his conversation by blurting out at breakfast, "This coffee tastes like washing up water." Suzanne said, "We never had any rows because he never said anything. It was like being married to a sack of dough." Office worker Ernst didn't waste words when she told him their 5-year marriage was over. "I'm in agreement," he said. In the course of his evidence, Sergeant James Hardy said, "Told of an indecent act taking place on a public vehicle, I drove to the Northam estate and arrested Mr. Harold Granger, who was making love to Edith Z on the floor of a 27A bus. Mr. Granger explained that he was the driver of the bus and, as his own car was in for a service and he always had sex on a Thursday evening, he had picked up Miss C after work on his way back to the garage."
A man walking on the North Wales shoreline saw part of a man's body in an advanced state of decomposition and alerted the police. They rushed the jeans-clad remains 30 miles to Home Office pathologist Donald Waite in Bangor. When he cut into it, he discovered it was a latex mannequin. Isle of Wight police ordered a post-mortem after a woman stumbled on what was thought to be a severed hand on a Seaview beach. A pathologist identified the hand as a cuttlefish, a member of the squid family, which breeds in the Solent.
"It did look like a badly decomposed hand," said Inspector Malcolm Turner, "especially with the tentacles."
A banana caused a French passenger aircraft to go on hijack alert and turn back in mid-flight. A passenger on board an Air Inter Airbus from Paris to Malaga, Spain, mistook a bulge in another traveller's trousers for a gun and alerted the crew. After the return to Orly Airport, paramilitary gendarmes discovered the fruity nature of the bulge. 2 hours behind schedule, the plane finally took off.
When my husband announced that he was undertaking a charity walk from Land's End to John O'Groats, I was quite relieved, as I have a lot to do around the house, said Mrs. Jason Wheel. However, as Jason took the first stride of his 1,000-mile march, he fell over the starting sign and broke his leg. Perhaps it's just as well. On a previous walk, he got sunstroke and was in hospital for 5 days.
Richard Price from New York claimed he'd been carrying an extraterrestrial homing device in his groin for the last 35 years. The space creatures who abducted him were about 4 feet tall and wore red and blue skin-tight uniforms and helmets. They sounded more like machines than people and showed him a film before they implanted the device. Price said he'd sent the contraption to the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, who've told him the material is not of this earth. The 2-millimeter-long device isn't metal and feels like a brown, stale piece of licorice.
Cool. Well, thanks a lot, Busby and Alex, for that fascinating glimpse of the world at large. And speaking of things that are not quite of this world, Chris Law will be along shortly with the Sunday Moan.
Name's Bonk, James Bonk, 00711 licensed for wines and spirits. It all began on a Monday morning. I rose at 7:30 a.m. Half an hour later, I got out of bed. Orange juice, lightly buttered toast, a cup of coffee. God, my duvet was a mess. Then I got the phone call. Hello? Yes? What's that? Top secret? Major disaster? Rack and ruin? I'll get on it right away. It's Bonk. Listen, I don't have much time. I want £5 on top secret, a tenner on major disaster, and 50 quid each way on rack and ruin. I decided to take a shower. That's when I got the call on my video wristwatch.
Oh, so sorry, James. I didn't realise you were in the shower. You're completely naked. Except... what's that piece of paper?
It's all right. I'm covered by the Official Secrets Act.
James, I haven't seen you for ages.
Sorry, Funny Fanny. I've been working in the field.
Oh, not more arable farming.
No, I mean that I've been on the job.
Oh.
And I've seen plenty of action.
I bet you have, you naughty, naughty boy. Now, when am I going to see some action, James? Yes, well...
But Funny Fanny, you're in my every thought. When I look at other women, I can only think, Funny Fanny.
Send 00711 in, Miss Funny Fanny.
Yes, sir.
Come in, 00711.
Who are you?
I'm N.
What happened to M?
Yeah, I come after M. Nasty business, that. M retired after a very bad spell. Thought he was a W and went round on his head all day. Bad business. Sit down, 00711. We've had a tip that someone set up a huge smuggling ring, and we want you to break it.
Who is it?
We don't know.
Well, what are they smuggling?
I'm afraid we don't know that either.
Any clues at all?
Yes. One of our contacts, Bernie, suspects that the Keep Fat class in Brewer Street might be a good place to start.
Is Bernie in?
No, I'm afraid he's on a stake. Out. You'd better go and see Q. He's got something for you.
Good morning, 007-11.
Good morning, Q. What have you got for me?
Well, what with the recession, decrease in government spending, cutbacks in our departmental budget, and a huge reduction in our travel allowance, I'm afraid this is it.
A fountain pen. But what is it? Miniature laser beam? Micro grenade? Cyanide ink?
It's just a fountain pen, I'm afraid. Terribly embarrassing. I'll just get a receipt.
The name's Bonk. James Bonk. I'd like to enroll in the Keep Fat class.
Yes, Mr. Bonk. Sign here. That's a nice
pen. Yes, it is. Miss...
Bosom. Lattie Bosom.
Naturally.
This way, Mr. Bonk.
So, what are you doing after the class?
I'm sorry, Mr. Bonk, but I'm celibate. I believe that sex saps all the body's natural energies.
I thought that was the point.
Ah, if I could have your attention, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Keep Fat class. Right, if you'd like to sit down and relax, take the weight off your feet, our qualified assistants will come among you and distribute your fat ration. With this, you can stay as fat as you like, with no effort at all.
Here we are, Mr. Bonk. If you'd like to take this.
This is disgusting. What is it?
This is a high cholesterol mixture of various fatty acids and substances, high in saturates and low in polyunsaturates.
I'm not eating that.
Big job. Mr. Bonk won't take his medicine.
That's right.
What's this? All class members has to be on the IFAT diet. If you won't take your ration, we'll have to give you a concentrated dose.
Oh, yes.
In the suppository!
You know where you can stick your suppository.
Ah! Gee!
What hit me?
I did.
Where am I?
You're going to see the big boss.
So I get to meet Mr. Big.
Mr. Big? I'm Mr. Bloody Enormous.
Wait, I know that voice. Ernst Stavro Bloated.
Yes, Mr. Bonk, we meet again. And again you try to foil my plot to take over the world.
Yeah, force of habit, I'm afraid.
No. Let me show you around my fabulous secret industrial complex. First, I explain my plan for world domination.
That would be nice.
I've never been a thin man, Mr. Bonk. I've tried many diets.
Really?
I was on a seafood diet. I'd seafood and eat it. I went on to a stable diet. All the oats and hay I could eat.
Yes.
Then I went to my doctor.
Good.
He told me to have a glass of lemon juice and a hot bath every day. Well, I didn't mind the lemon juice, but I got fed up drinking the hot bath every day. Then, one day, I woke up and thought, why fight the fat? Give in. Glory in your obesity.
Yes.
Wallow in your wobbliness. I realized that fat is good. Why keep fit? Whence you can keep fat.
Why indeed?
So, I came up with the Keep Fat class. The idea is to feed so much fat to the people that they become addicted. And then, I will become the biggest fat dealer in the world.
But where do you get all this fat?
California. The Keep Fit capital of the world. All the surplus fat that comes off the exercise freaks. America's gross national product, I buy it up cheaply and import into this country.
I see.
I'm just exploiting a gap in the market. Soon, there will be a string of Keep Fat franchises all around the world.
Another fat tycoon.
Literally. But I've told you enough. Time for you to die. Big job. Kill Mr. Bonk. Oi!
You're coming with me. Bloated, you're under cardiac arrest.
Wait. If you are here, then who is Big Job fighting?
That's my stunt double. Double O stunt double.
What?
License to fight. Okay, Bloated, that's as far as you go.
You'll never take me alive, Mr. Bonk.
Well done, 007-11. Shame you couldn't bring in Bloated.
Yes, sir. He threw himself into a vat of animal fat.
You mean...
Yes, sir. Suicide.
Nasty business. Anyway, here's your next mission. Bodyguard to the Chinese diplomatic attaché.
What, sir?
Attaché.
Bless you.
Thank you. Here's your assignment. The Chinese ambassador, Mr. Hai Lifat.
Hai Lifat? Oh, no!
Come back, Mr. Bond. Mr. Bond.
There, that is the end of Live and Let Diet. It's not the end of James Bonk, who will be back in The Man with the Golden Bun. This radio play was written by Steve Ryder and produced at the Clockwork Wireless Workshop. Voice characterizations were by Chris Law, Steve Ryder, and Dave Burton. Thanks, me, that was wonderful. Time now to go over to the Three Bladders, where Chris Law is ready to vent his spleen in another Sunday moan.
Storm wind, then we ring the freedom bell.